Hi, everybody. It's good to see you all. I'm always thinking about you, but I have to tell you. So the next cohort of Sacred Depth started today. We had our kickoff call and it was amazing. And as I was stepping in with all of them, there's 60 of them. As I was stepping in with all of them, I was thinking about all of you and how it was only not like, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago we had our first call. You were all baby Sacred Depthers and now you're all postgraduates. Anyway, I called all of you into the energy and I just was just feeling so much gratitude for each of you. And anyway, just wanted to share that. So we are starting a new unit today. It's our third kind of overarching unit in Sacred Depths. Our first unit was all of the foundational skills. And then our second unit is kind of, I think of it as like the obstacles skills, working with fear and resistance and unhelpful thought patterns and wheel of self-sabotage and myth of perfection. Giving you lots of different building on all of the foundational skills and techniques and work to give you lots of different tools in your toolbox to have for when there's a client obstacle that comes up. And I think most people would just end the program there, but I did not because there's a whole other unit, which is like a bonus unit that we're going to get to over the next month or two. And I think of this last unit as just the important things that we need to talk about more. That's the best way I can put it. Sometimes I put it that way, and other times I put it as like the. And only take this if it resonates. If this makes you roll your eyes, then just drop it. But I also think of this last unit as coach as spiritual mentor type of topics. So it's really juicy stuff. Throughout the whole program, I bring all of my experience as a ritualist. But this last unit, I bring even more of that in. Not specifically for ritual, though we will have one of our last classes on ritual, but even more so the wisdom of the circle and cyclical living is really some of what we look at in this last unit. Okay, so all of that to say, today we are diving into being in the mystery. Ooh, being in the mystery. Before we do, I want to just make sure that I share. So some of you were on our Next Steps call yesterday. It was good to see those of you that could make it live. Some of you have already been stepping in to advance and embody. Yay! I'm so happy that I'll be continuing with some of you. A couple of things that I just wanted to share about it. So number one, as a reminder, no urgency in terms of making a decision. You have all the special rates until Monday night, but you have until tonight. If you just know you're in and you've been dragging your feet, but you know you're in one or both of those programs, if you register by tonight, you will get something special and magical from me in the mail. I know a couple of you had some trouble scheduling a call with Inval or Caitlin. Thanks for letting us know. There was an issue with TimeTap and it's fixed now, so you can schedule with them. What else do I want to say? There was a question about, do you need to have finished and submitted and all of your certification materials if you're going for certification, and gotten certification in order to continue on to advanced or embody? And the answer is no, you don't need to have submitted in order to continue on. And then there were some questions about payment plans. We will work with you if you need a different kind of payment plan, an extended payment plan. Just reach out and let us know, and we'll do everything that we can to make it work. Okay. So let's talk about the mystery. And, you know, we're going to talk about it in 83 minutes. So I'm mentioning that to say that in some ways we're just skimming the surface on this topic. But that being said, even the surface is so deep and rich and meaningful. And it will boost your skills. Oh, Lisa, thanks for letting me know. We did get it fixed, but as soon as I hop off the call, I'll let the team know. Okay. So in the coaching and transformational industries, we speak a lot about creating, but we very rarely speak about not doing, and definitely not about destroying. We speak so often about more and having more and being more and creating more. But we very, very rarely speak about less and about loss. And this does everybody a disservice, because real life, and all of our clients are living real life, not like make-believe transformational speak lives. Real life is about both. It is about creating, and it is also about destroying. It is about manifesting, and it is also about letting go in the right moments. It is about having more, and real life is also about, in certain moments, less. It's also about clarity, but we do a big disservice when we are only clarity chasers, because real life is also sometimes about fogginess and lack of clarity, or not clarity yet. And if we don't, as practitioners, hold the full spectrum of this, like of real human life and experience, then we're only holding half of our clients' experiences. Our clients are going to encounter experiences and choices that relate to the destruction, to the letting go, to the less, to the not clear, right? It's going to happen, for example, when there is maybe a choice about leaving a marriage or a partner or a loss of a partner. It's going to come up when there is maybe an experience of leaving a home or a loss of a home or a job. Illness may come up for clients. Those are moments more of letting go and honoring less than chasing more. Perhaps death of a loved one is going to come up. Or needing space before taking more action. And I'm sure each of you can think of at least one moment in your life where it was a moment, an aligned moment for destruction or letting go or less or not having all of the clarity. This has happened for me many, many, many times over, whether it was when I left the New York, New Jersey area, already now 10, well, more than 10 years ago, but I had lived there my whole entire life. My family was there. All my friends were there. I had built my business there. And it was a really big deal to let go of that home and parts of my identity that were built around that, to move to North Carolina. Moments of letting go of programming, right? So all of us encounter this. And as practitioners, it's so valuable for us to kind of understand what all of this is about. And when I say what all of this is about, I mean, as much as we can't ever really pin it down, but understanding the nature of being in the mystery and the nature of letting go and what that brings up. If we don't pay attention to all of this, if we don't know how to hold space for all of this, if we don't know how to honor and acknowledge all of this, then we become push coaches or practitioners. And I think we've all seen push coaches out there, always pushing and prodding clients forward instead of supporting clients to find the aligned organic pace that they're meant to be in that moment. Push practitioners also bypass feelings that need to be felt by clients and potential opportunities in the space and in the mystery. Not for ourselves and not for our clients, we don't want to always be in the push, 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 go, 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 which unfortunately a lot of coaching does that and is approached in that way. So as we look at this today, I'll just name, now it's a little bit of a different kind of class. It's very, because we're in the mystery, it's more cyclical than linear. You'll see what I mean as we go through. I always try to be as Virgo as I can with all the compartments, but we're talking about the mystery. So I'm going to be a little all over the place on today's call. And I think it's important, to start to just, speak for a few minutes about cycles and honoring the cycles. Because I come from, this background first as a ritualist and women's circles, there was a lot of learning around honoring the fullness of the cycle, right? The fullness of the year, the fullness of a full moon lunation, the fullness of a day. And, you know, when we think about cycles, we can generally divide cycles up into four phases, beginning or planting phases, spring, new moons, morning time. And after spring, we move into summer. After that initiation, that planting, there's growth, right? We planted the seed and now we're working it and we're watering it and we're giving it sun and we're growing and there's a lot of activity and that forward movement from activity. So this is like summer, high noon, almost full moon in the sky. And then the next phase after summer is, of course, autumn. Autumn is a moment to actually start slowing down. That phase in the cycle, it's a moment instead of all of that hard work of the summer and the doing and the creating more and the making more and taking all of the actions, once we get to autumn and harvest, we want to actually enjoy the fruits on the trees. We want to take a moment to pause and literally harvest, to take in the accomplishment, to take in the learning, to enjoy it, to not feel like we need to just create more and more and more and more. And you so often, we work and we work and we work and we create, and maybe it turns out the way we want and maybe it doesn't, but either way, we never get to the harvest phase where we actually get to enjoy and take pleasure and leverage what we created. We're just looking for the next thing and the next assignment and the next mountain to climb, right? So there's the harvest, the autumn, and then winter. Letting go, the long silent night, resting, moving inward, being in the bare bones. The trees, actually, many trees that lose their leaves and their flowers in the winter need to not be doing so much up top with all of the branches. They need for that to take a rest in order for the roots to be nourished for the next cycle. So I'm sharing all of this really briefly to say that our culture and our society places a lot of importance on spring and summer, on starting new things and working hard to create more. It places very little importance and value on autumn and winter, on release, on grief, on destruction, on rest, on silence, on moments for less. And it's my belief, you can check this out for yourself, that this is hurtful, that this hurts all of us as a people. Because again, life, we can't just have a life of spring and summer and spring and summer and spring and summer and spring and summer. It's just not possible. I don't care who on social media is telling you that you can, you cannot. And I'd say a percentage of the work that I do with clients is supporting them to, I don't often use this word, but I'm going to use this word now, is supporting them to heal from being misaligned with the seasons. And I don't mean the actual, what's the actual season in where you live right now, but from only valuing spring and summer and thinking that their experience should only be spring and summer and that their value is only spring and summer. Okay, that's a lot right there. So I'm going to pause here for a moment. What are you hearing so far that's feeling important for you? What are you seeing? What's resonating? What's this bringing up? Who wants to share? Jennifer.
Hi. So I think for me, it was, and I know we did this in Into the Depths too, but like recognizing the cycle that I'm in was so important. And right now I'm coming out of a winter and a letting go and a releasing and how important it was to do that to make way for spring. And so being able to hold that space for clients too, like it's okay to be in this space of just being and allowing and you're right, because we're always so go, 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 that it's like, no, just sit here. And so I find that I'm more comfortable in the winter, like allowing myself that space to be and just kind of letting things go and seeing what needs to be released. So it's really powerful to have that for our clients, for sure.
Yeah. I love what you're saying. It's like, it's really hard to hold it for clients if we're not comfortable in it ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good. Lisa.
It's really countercultural, isn't it? So countercultural to slow down, be quiet. And I love it. And I think most of the time I think I'm really weird and I'm so out of kilter with everybody else. And you've just said something that's like, yeah, that's okay. To be out of kilter with everybody else.
That's right. It's more than okay to be off kilter with everyone else. And recognize and honor your own rhythms and your own needs. Yes.
I'm allowed to be weird.
Completely. It's encouraged. Banshin.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'm so resonating with what everyone's saying. And Julie, I felt the exact same thing, like, oh my God, I feel like you're talking right to me. That cracked me up because I was feeling that too. So yeah, what Lisa said, I think just it's so affirming and such a great reminder that just to notice when there is that impulse to like, well, what should I do next? To step back and say, well, do I need to do? Just to simply ask that question.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that really came to mind. And then of course I start thinking about my clients and I work with a lot of clients who are in sort of fast paced or high stress environments, like PhD programs or science labs or attorneys. And I do this work. I help them find ways to slow down or identify what season they're in. But it can be challenging when there's all this external pressure, right? Like I think about this one young adult who's in a PhD program that I get the sense that her pace just in general isn't what others in her program is. And I try so hard to honor that and help her see that, but she jumps into comparing herself. So, and she's 24, so like, God help, you know, like it's natural to compare yourself at that age anyway, and then to be in a PhD program that's really demand, I'm just sitting with like how to support people that are in those spaces that are, you know, who I want to help.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about this day and I look forward to continuing to feel into ways to support them.
Yeah. Yeah. You won't get any definitive answers today.
No, that's why it's
different ideas,
right? I mean, it really is like feeling in, listening to them, trusting them.
And supporting them to do that for themselves and figuring out, you know, how to work with the system while also not being in the system. But that's, I really believe, I mean, so much of what we do here in Sacred Depths, but like particularly today, like this is about slowly changing systems too. I love what you said first about the, what do I need to do next? How even that question is based on a filter, right? Of that there has to be something to do next right now. Right? And even just questioning that.
Yeah, totally. As a business, as an entrepreneur, it's like, well, I have to be doing something, don't I? I mean, what should I do?
Yes. Yeah. So good just to even catch ourselves in that. Good. Julie.
I also so relate to and appreciate what both Fanchen and Lisa just shared. And like, you know, for me, it's just always this dance and this balance between the compulsion to feel like I should be or could be doing more as it pertains to moving forward and growing in my business, and also honoring the truth of what is in my being and in my body. And like kind of reflecting on what I was talking about yesterday in the call, you know, when I find myself, well, just so often the idea of shoulding, right? All that, what I should do, like my body and being kind of rejects that as just like foreign, toxic, and not aligned. And but then that's countered with bumping up against feel like the not enough feelings, like the should voice is telling me I'm not doing enough if I'm not doing the shoulds. And so it's just this constant, it feels very much like what I'm imagining this module is about, around really leaning into the mystery and being with.
Yes.
So what is true right here, right now for me?
Yes. Yes. And also, as we've been saying, recognizing in those moments that that should voice isn't even coming from within, and isn't even like it, we may have heard it from parents, but it isn't even coming. Our parents are getting it from society, right? And patriarchy, like it's so baked in. And recognizing in those moments when we hear the should create more, you know, this, that, or the other thing, like this isn't, like this actually isn't even from me. This actually isn't from me.
It makes me think a lot about Byron Katie's work and the idea of, like, you know, just challenging ourselves to explore our beliefs and the stories about what we should do. And like, is that even really true?
Yes.
And how do I know it's true? And
yes. Yeah. Good. Kelsey.
Like, had hand up, hand down, hand up. I don't know. I guess it's important because it wants to be said, but I just love when you said that about the trees, it kind of blew my mind. And I don't know if I'm the only one that didn't know this, but I find it to be a beautiful question to ask myself when I find myself heading into winter, like, what do my roots need? Like after producing, like, what is my, like, I think of my roots as my nervous system, my heart, my, like, and talking about self-care last week, like, don't know. I'm like, it just seems like a beautiful question to ask myself really in any given moment, but like particularly in these winter stages, like, how do I tend to my roots? How do I help my clients tend to their roots and help them to see what a vital part of the process that is?
Yes, I got chills when you asked that question. It does. It feels so important. And exactly what you're saying, yes, in all moments, but particularly after there's been a period of action and work and putting like the energy to the branches to say, okay, if I'm prioritizing my roots now, what do my roots need?
Yeah. And like having an opportunity to do that sort of in depth for like that season then seems to me to set us up for like successful kind of pendulation, like throughout the doing, like tapping back into the roots and then going back to production. And yeah.
Agree. Yeah. And again, so to be able to do this, to ask the questions, like I'm really going to kind of like drive this point home. We have to continuously be willing to call out culture and see the messages that have seeped into us. Okay, good. So let's keep on going. So what is a winter phase? Winter doesn't have to be, as I said earlier, when it's actually snowing outside or I don't know, whatever winter is in your climate. It's not like it has to correlate, like for where I live, between December and March for me to be in a winter phase. And every single one of my, I like to think of it as I have overarching winter phases where just in general, I'm doing less, I'm going more quiet, I'm pulling back, I'm letting go. But then underneath the overarching, I might have a winter phase in a piece of my business, but I might be in a different phase in my home or a different part of my business, right? So not to complicate this too much, and we won't get too much into it. We do that in Sacred Rhythms, which some of you have taken, but just to say a winter phase doesn't have to be literally when it's winter outside. And sometimes a winter phase lasts 3 months. Sometimes a winter phase lasts 2 weeks. And sometimes a winter phase lasts longer. Right. And that is even for those of us that are all into this and embrace the mystery. We're like, we're going to do it in a neat way and it'll be over. I give myself this much time to be in it. Right. But then if we need more than that, that's when the real test comes up. Can I tolerate this? Can I still love myself and know I am of value if I need a longer winter phase? A winter phase can look like taking a sabbatical. A winter phase can look like resting, like having a period of time where you are resting much more than usual. A winter phase can look like cutting back on projects. A winter phase can look like releasing something in your life, a partnership, a big program, letting something die and actually giving yourself the time and the space to grieve it. The next thing I'm going to share is very obvious, but I'll just say it anyway. Why is it important to allow winter phases when we're ready for them? A resting, a letting go, a creating space. Why is it important to consciously step in when we know it's time? Well, because when we pretend like we can only do spring and summer, number one, we end up with misalignment in our lives. We start making bad decisions, whether it's about business or relationships or home or whatever the projects are. When we think it's always do more, we make misaligned decisions and we are misaligned with those areas of our lives. When we don't consciously step into winter phases, we end up doing too much. And then we get exhausted and we get sick. When we don't consciously step into a winter phase, when we are ready for it, we end up feeling like we have no space. Like our time is not ours and we don't have any spaciousness, like locked up. When we don't step into a winter phase, we don't then have the space to heal from illness, to integrate life changes. We don't have the space to grieve what needs to be grieved. And ironically, usually when that happens, we end up in a much longer winter phase, unintentionally than we need to be when any of that happens. And hating on ourselves because we don't know why. We don't have the energy or the space or the bandwidth. When we don't consciously step into a winter phase, you know, particularly when a piece of that winter phase is about letting things go that are no longer aligned, then we don't make room for things that are aligned. And then we don't get to have the next things that are aligned because there's not space for them. Or we end up settling for something instead of receiving the ideal. So why is it hard to step into a winter phase or to let go, right? It sounds like, oh yeah, we'll have winter phases, right? But we all know that we can talk a good, myself included, by the way, can talk a good talk, right? Like philosophically, but then it's really, really hard to embrace it and move into it and really be with it, right? So why is that? Even when we know better, right? Even when we know it's so vital and it's so important. Well, there are a couple of reasons why it can be hard. Number one, fear of missing out, right? If I don't do this thing now that I'm never going to have the opportunity for it again, if I don't take these clients on, more clients on now, because they're right in front of me, there's never going to be that opportunity again, right? Or that vacation with the friends that are right, like whatever it is, that fear of missing out can sometimes prevent us. Related to that, fear of scarcity, right? I won't have security. This is a big one for me, especially coming from a Holocaust background, et cetera. It's like, you know, that you have things today, but you might not have them tomorrow. So you need to squirrel away more money, right? Like, because who knows what's going to happen tomorrow. If there is an addiction to more, which so many in our society today have, sometimes I find myself a little falling in there, right? Just this like buying into this idea of I need more, right? This, that, and the other thing, right? Then it's going to be hard to step into a winter phase. If there is a fear of change, it's going to be hard to step into a winter phase. If there is an addiction to clarity and always needing to know exactly where you stand, exactly what you have, exactly how things are going to be, exactly how they're going to turn out, then it's going to be very hard to release or let go or make space. Oftentimes, sometimes the clarity is just there, right? But oftentimes, in order to have clarity, we have to be willing to not know for a while and let things emerge. Sometimes it's hard to let go or step into a winter phase if we have a fear of open space and time. Which might sound a little counterintuitive because so many of us just want more open space and time. But is there a fear in it? Is there a fear of our feelings in it? You know, or what we'll find in it, or who will be in the open space and time? How it will feel, right? Or if there's a fear of grief, we will avoid a winter phase or letting go at all costs. If we're scared of grief, that we're going to get lost in grief, that we'll never emerge from grief, that grief is going to be too much for us to handle. Sometimes it can be hard to step into a winter phase or letting go if there is a fear of letting others down. If we feel like they have expectations of us continuing to show up or produce or be a certain way or stay in the relationship or whatever it is. That came up for me about a year and a half ago. I took a sabbatical from private work and it was a really big deal for me to say, you know, for 6 months, and I ended up extending it longer than that till about 9-10 months. To say no private clients on my calendar. There was one layer of resistance and fear of like, oh my God, but what if people don't come back? And right, like the money, but that was almost like, that was easy. The deeper challenge for me was my clients are counting on me. I'm gonna let them down, right? And then also for some people, it can be hard to let go or step into a winter phase because of our cultural fear of death in general. We do not have as a culture, as a people, a healthy relationship with death. We try to pretend like it doesn't exist, right? That's why not honoring winter, by the way, is not honoring our elders and valuing them and respecting them, sanitizing death, not wanting to really look at illness, right? So we have so much fear inside of us of all of that. And then that can end up being like become metaphorical for us without even realizing fear of letting things go. In a moment, I'm going to ask you some questions for inner work. But first, let me pause here. What is feeling important? What are you seeing around either, you know, those things I mentioned, what happens when we don't let go or move into a winter phase, or why it's so hard? What's coming up for you? Heather.
So fear of letting others down really resonated with me because, so I work for a nonprofit, and one of the benefits of nonprofits is they tend to give you a lot of time off. However, I've been at this nonprofit 9 years, and every single year I lose time because I can only carry 80 hours over to the new year, and I can't use all my time off because no one covers for me in the women's prison. And so all those women miss out. So this really resonates with me. So how do I coach myself?
Yeah.
So to be first, a practitioner, if I, you know.
Yeah. And we're going to get to, like I said earlier to Fanshan, I don't have all a speaking of the mystery. I don't have all the answers, but I'll give different entryways in and inquiries to be able to explore and come to some new understandings and maybe some different decisions. Yeah, but I'm glad that you're naming it. It's really important. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you. What are you seeing? What's coming up for you? Okay, we'll go into our questions. Okay. What is your relationship with letting things go? What is your relationship with letting things go? Yeah, love hate. Mm-hmm. It's getting better all the time. I love that. And it's a Beatles phrase, so I love it even more. What about with winter, though, in the ways that I've described it, and winter phases? How do you feel about winter phases? How do you approach them? How do you relate to them? And Amika saying I procrastinate is around letting go. I procrastinate around it a lot. And then when the time is there, letting go almost feels easy. Great. So be honest with yourself, right? Not the thing that you say in your head, but really, like, how do you relate? So I'll share with all of you. You're the first, actually, group that I'm sharing this with, but I recently found out that I have to have a surgery in the beginning of May, which means that I have to take a week off work. And it's like, of course, in my mind, before this actually came up, like, of course, I'll take the whole week off work and I'm going to clear my schedule and just allow myself to rest and heal. You know, like I value all of those things, right? But now that it's a reality and I have to actually do it, I mean, I know I will, but I've been dragging, like, I haven't let y'all know that we have to reschedule a class and all of that. Like, I'm dragging my feet, right? It's like there's this resistance to it, even though I know how important it is. And there's, all at the same time, there's a little bit of a fantasy of watching Netflix all week, which is wonderful, but also this, like, oh my gosh, what, I'm going to lose all this time. And I wanted to do a program, a 4-week program in May. And now I can't, right? It's like all the things, right? So just, like, being honest with yourself, like, how do you relate to all of this? Julie Singh in the chat, can you speak to how you regard letting go versus bypassing when something difficult really wants to be addressed or explored? It's such a great question, right? And that's something that we wanna really be conscious and cognizant of with clients. Sometimes it is truly aligned and the right moment to let go of a relationship, to not move forward on a project and take a rest or just abort the project completely, you know, all the things. And then other times it's easy to say that when really it's a fear or a resistance to taking action or doing the hard work of the relationship or whatever it is. So we always want to keep that into take that in consideration. We want to be using every single skill that we've learned. I mean, not perfectly, right? But not to overwhelm you, but we want to use all the things that we've learned. We want to be using our listening skills. We want to be listening. Is there a fear here that needs to be looked at first so that the client can actually make the right decision to let this go or not let this go? Is there a resistance here that wants to be worked with first? Not so that the client definitely moves forward or definitely lets the thing go, but so that the client has more of their resource and awareness to make the best decision about it. Is there an unhelpful belief that needs to be rewired in order to for the client to then have all of their resource to make a decision about the winter phase? Is that helpful, Julie?
Yeah, I think when I was asking the question, I was thinking about it more in relation to myself than client work. So now I'm just kind of, I'm hearing and understanding what you're saying and also being like, girl, you still gotta like do the checking in around that for yourself. So
yeah, whether it's helpful though
to be reminded to, you know, apply the tools and skills. So thank you.
Yeah, good question. What's your, here's another relationship question. What's your relationship to scarcity and or always need to accumulate more or do or be more? How do you relate to scarcity and or always needing to accumulate more or do more or be more? Anita's saying you're having a hard time with the scarcity and super afraid of being seen as lazy. Yeah. So important, again, to bring awareness as a step one. All right, here's another question. What's one thing in your life right now that you know is ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it? And that can be anything from a relationship to an object to a type of ideal client. You know, anything, right? What is one thing in your life that is actually ready to be let go of? It's ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it. Fanshan.
I just had to share this. It's so crazy. I had a dream last night. I'm going to start crying. This is so crazy. I had a dream last night that my husband told me that he wanted to leave me. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, oh my God, I'm ready to let that fear go. And that's why I dreamt it. We've been partnered for 24 freaking years this summer. And he's the love of my life and my best friend. But until, you know, maybe last year or sometime in the last couple years, I felt like I wasn't worthy of him. And that dream was just like, I'm done with that. Like, it was like personifying that, because I felt done with that for a while, but I just had to share that.
Love it. I love the synchronicity of it. It feels like you woke up knowing, and now this is just another like affirmation and opportunity to embody and integrate. And I'll offer this if it resonates. Yeah. What's the emotion that's coming up?
It just feels so free. It's like, yeah, of course I'm worthy of him. Like, why did I ever think that I wasn't?
Yeah. Can you feel that freedom in your body? Can you, this may or may not apply, so you tell me, can you forgive the you that didn't know that for all those years? Can you hold that one with love and compassion?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll offer this if it resonates, just because this feels so big. You might want to create a letting go ritual to really concretize this fear that served you for so long. Maybe even do some writing on how it served you for all of those years. And then really ritualize letting it go. So it might be, for example, a rock that first you honor, you know, that fear and that belief for all the ways that it served. And then you throw it into the river or something that you burn, or, you know, whatever is going to feel meaningful for you. But this, it feels like let's embody this even more and take it even a step deeper into your knowing.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So whatever you are identifying as something in your life that you know is ready to die, but you've been clinging on to it. Here's another question about that thing. Why have you been clinging on? Why have you been clinging on? Maybe for one of the reasons that I mentioned earlier, or something else. And then what would you need to believe in order to let that thing go? What would you need to believe and know or know in order to let that thing go? We still have a lot more to take a look at today. So I'll take Julie, and then we're going to keep on going.
Thanks. Tell me if this doesn't feel like it fits where you are. I don't want to bust your groove. But when you ask that question about why you feel like you're having a hard time letting go of that thing, I guess you mentioned something yesterday in the call about within advanced depths, one of the modules you would do work that gets really deep into shadow work and specifically like compulsions and the like. And so I guess what I'm thinking about is addiction and or a habit that in my knowing, I know I can let go of it. I want to. I'm not exactly sure what my question is, but I lost it.
Well, I'll reflect back what I'm hearing, at least just for you can tell me if I'm getting it right. What you've shared so far is that what this thing that you know you're ready to let go of or is ready to die, you've been holding on to it because it's a habit or a compulsion, something's just deeply embedded in habitually, almost as if you were addicted to it or compulsively using it or holding on to it. Am I getting that right? Yeah. So is there a question there, or is that just important to see that right
now? I guess, and both. I think the question is, I think why I'm having trouble remembering what my initial thought was is because I kind of lost what your prompt was, which was like, why is it hard to let go?
What would you need? Well, why are you clinging on? And then what would you need to believe in order to let go?
I mean, I guess and my husband and I are talking about this earlier, and it makes me think of what Fanchon just shared, just in terms of the self-worth, the worthiness piece, which I feel like is so often underneath all of our self-sabotaging behaviors. Mm-hmm. I was telling my husband all about the wheel of self-sabotage and hooking him in.
So that would be a good, you know, if you think it would be valuable, start that as a journaling prompt, go deeper with that, and then maybe apply some rewiring. Once you do the journaling, like pull out particularly the self-worth with whatever thing you're clinging on to, and then apply a tool, maybe a Befriend Your Fear tool or a rewiring tool to it and see what wants to evolve. Okay. So this next part of the call, I told you this is kind of like a all over the park call, but hopefully it's valuable. This next part of the call, I want to share a couple of what I would call truths, although you check them out for yourself if it feels true for you, but truths or universal wisdom that I think is valuable for us to know as practitioners to offer to our clients, as well as just valuable for us to know as humans. So I'll share them with you and you can see which ones resonate and have meaning for you. I told you this, we're getting into kind of like philosophy here, like spirit, right? A little spiritual, but anyway, here's one piece of wisdom that can be really helpful to dig into and to embody and to really integrate. In order for rebirth to happen, death needs to happen first. In order for rebirth to happen, some kind of death needs to happen first. That can give comfort and trust. When we are moving into a winter phase. Here's another one I kind of mentioned earlier, not exactly in this way. Trees actually grow the most in the winter. We think they grow the most in the spring and the summer. We see like the flashy flowers and the leaves, but it's the nourishing of the roots that happens in the winter. Here's another piece of wisdom. The best visioning happens in the mystery. So we dream at night, not in the light of day when there's full clarity. And that's because in the darkness, there's nothing that holds us or binds us, or it has to fit into this or be like that. Sometimes we need to move into the mystery in order for the next piece of the vision to come. Here's another one. When things are overfull, the universe doesn't see a place to give more. And so if your schedule is overflowing with clients, you've really been wanting to do a group program, it just can't happen. Here's another one. The spring always comes. It's not linear, it's cyclical. The spring always comes back around. Better to have less, but have it be aligned, than have more that is misaligned. I forget this sometimes when it comes to my business. I mean, I really have to bring myself back. Sometimes I can get caught up in the more, 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 more. Better to have less, but have it be aligned, than more that's misaligned. Here's another one, a little bit of a different one, but my client is strong enough to withstand loss. And as just another kind of truth and belief to help us support our clients to step into a winter phase or stay in a winter phase if they're not ready to emerge, for us to remember that my client is strong enough to withstand loss. Sometimes a practitioner might inadvertently steer a client away from letting go of something or taking a rest or leaving a marriage or whatever it is, because there's this conscious or unconscious belief that my client isn't going to be able to withstand it. And then they are inadvertently supporting the client to stay in something that is misaligned and not right for them because of the practitioner's fear. Here's another one. I, practitioner, am strong enough to hold space for loss and grief. Right. So these are kind of energetics about the client and us as it relates to this. The moment we think that we're not able to hold space for loss and grief, we're gonna avoid our client moving into loss or grief that they might really need. All right, I know I'm moving through these quickly. I'll share a couple of more. If a client is really having trouble thinking about releasing or letting something go, I've found for some folks, it's easier for them to think about it as giving it up to spirit or giving it up to God versus letting it go completely, like more like putting it on the altar and spirit will do with it what it's meant is meant to be done. But it's not their responsibility to hold on to it or make it happen. Here's another one. Grief is normal and natural and necessary. I know we all know that, right? But it's easy to forget. I'll share two other things for now. This next one is, it's a, like, a, how do I want to put it? a foundational principle that when I am coaching an individual, and I coach people mostly on their businesses and their work, but it is like foundational, health and well-being above all else, period. I think that gets forgotten sometimes in all of this. Health and well-being above all else. I have had business coaches who have not had that as a foundational principle. And I'm a get it done gal. I can make things happen. I can like create a lot, which is awesome and glory, but I don't want to say I've been pushed. That's not fair, because it takes the agency away from me. But I have, in those situations, nobody held the space for me to prioritize my well-being over the productivity. And I suffered because of it. I lost out because of it, even with all the things being created. Okay, I'm going to quickly share the next thing. Won't get into too much detail, but I wrote an article about it. I'll share it with all of you. I love in this whole discussion to think about the myth of Inanna. Do you all know the myth of Inanna? So I'll just tell you real brief and I'll share the article with you. So much rich work in this myth. Inanna, Sumerian goddess, queen of heaven and earth. She supreme leader, power. I think about this title, queen of heaven and earth. And had all of the power and the privilege and all of the things that one would want, right? And Inanna had a sister named Arishkigal, who is queen of the underworld. And Arishkigal's husband died, and Inanna wanted to pay her respects to her sister. And so she had to go to the underworld to pay the respects. And the way the myth goes is, in order for Inanna to get and cross over to the underworld, and by the way, this is a metaphor for the changing of the seasons, right? Spring and summer into autumn and winter. In order for Inanna to cross over into the underworld, she had to pass through 7 gates. And at each gate, there was a gatekeeper. And at each gate, the gatekeeper asked her to take off something, her crown at one gate, her divining rod at another gate, her golden ring at another gate, her royal robe at another gate. In other words, step by step by step, Inanna had to put down a worldly symbol of accomplishment and power in order to be able to really be with herself in the darkness of the underworld. And there's more to the myth, and we don't have time for it right now, but I share this, number one, because I love the myth and I love to share it, but also because, just to say, we can get so caught up in like another client. I have this degree. I have made this much money. I have whatever it is, right? I don't know, whatever car. I mean, I know that's probably not important to most of the people here, but whatever the crown and the divining rod like is for us. I did that program. That many people went into it, you know, this, that. And of course those things are important. Like, I value those things so much for myself. But that being said, there are moments where those things actually should not hold as much value as we have them hold. And they can become, an obstacle to us being in winter and really meeting ourselves as the bare trees and standing in the value of that for ourselves. Does that make sense? All right, so of all of the different kind of pieces of wisdom that I just mentioned, which one of these do you want to pick one to make note of, to like keep on coming back to, and you maybe one you know is important for you to remember for yourself? Jennifer saying better to have less. That's aligned. Yeah. So easy to forget. Spring always comes. Yep. Okay. Anamika is saying, I can go deep, but I will always resurface. Yes. Yeah. Better to have less. That's aligned, and trees go more in winter. Yeah. Good. Okay. So that leaves us with, how can we help clients with all of this? So the biggest thing is to be holding all of the wisdom that we've shared on the call today and to continue to come back to it. Like the more we can know it for ourselves, the more that we can not only value spring and summer, but value all of it and understand all of this. Energy follows energy, and the more we can then show up and hold that for our clients without being scared of it. But some other things on top of that to be aware of. The moment we get attached to outcome is the moment that we can't really hold space for a winter phase for a client if they need it. So we really, you know, we've looked at this before, but I'll say it again, don't ever be attached to the client needs to achieve this goal in this way, in this amount of time, right? Any kind of attachment to outcome, or it means that I wasn't a good enough coach if they didn't achieve this goal in this way, in this period of time, then we're not going to be able to hold space for a client to actually see what is right for them and how to proceed or not to proceed or go into a winter phase or not. Does that make sense? So we really want to watch for that. We want to remember that there's always more than one way to reach a goal. That's kind of an outshoot or cropping of that. Another thing that can really help us, as I said earlier, is to keep goals in mind while also keeping well-being top of mind and not let the one have more power than the other. As you have heard me say so many times over the months, don't underestimate the power of creating awareness with a client. This is so big. Oftentimes, a client won't have the awareness that there is even a choice to stop, or a choice to slow down, or a choice to let go, or that it's okay to not know all the things in that moment. co-creating awareness for the client to even understand that those are very viable possibilities can go such a long way. Creating awareness like we did today on, excuse my language, but like fucked up systems in society and how they're not seeing there's a choice because they're playing into those systems and those messages, creating awareness on that can be so huge. What else? So honoring before releasing. It's really hard to let go of something, which is the winter, if you haven't honored it and seen how it served or seen what you've learned from it, which is harvesting, which is the autumn, right? The autumn has to come before the winter. The honoring has to come before the letting go. I see sometimes like in ritual, some people leading rituals where it's just like, let this go without the, let's take a moment and honor this first, honor how it served, honor what we've received from it. We've held on to it for this long for a reason. Let's acknowledge that or mind the learnings, et cetera. So that can oftentimes really help a client be more ready to let something go. If we think that we haven't gotten value from something, we're going to cling on to it, right? It's good. We're trying to like, we already put the effort in, like we want to get something from it. So taking the time to honor or see the lessons, reap the harvest, whatever that harvest is, can support the moving through of the cycles. That makes sense? Yeah. Okay. We also already spoke about challenging cultural and patriarchal norms. Supporting a client to define for themselves terms like abundance or success or happiness, separate from any familial or cultural, like anyone else's expectations, but just really creating a little bit of space for a client to define for themselves, you know, whatever is relevant, abundance, success, happiness, can create so much awareness on actually what to let go of. Is it time to slow down? What's aligned and what's misaligned? Clarifying, we've really looked at so many of these earlier in the program, but I'm just relating them now to this topic. Clarifying priorities and values, right? So if a client is working, doing more, and it's at the expense of their relationship with their child, but that is really a value or a priority for them, coming back to clarifying and remembering the priorities and the values can help make decisions about releasing or letting go or moving into winter phases. Here's one more. I may have shared this one with all of you already. I can't remember, but there's this little game that I play with myself, and I've helped clients play this game too. And I like to play this game when I go into the fear that everything is going to fall apart and it's not going to be like, I'll never be able to put it back together. I'll go into when I'm faced with a like, oh, I'm not going to do that program, or I'm going to let go of that thing, or, you know, whatever it is, then automatically I go into the catastrophic, everything is going to fall apart, right? It's I'm never going to have again, all the things. So the game that I play is in those moments when I'm faced with a big decision like that, I make a list of everything that I have that no one can take away from me. In other words, I make a list of things that I know are mine, no matter what, that will help me rebuild or create more after the winter phase when it's time to rebuild, right? So as an example, no matter what, I have all of the wisdom that is, you know, that I have, right? And I, even if I were to lose all of my clients and all of my programs and right, like I'd have to take time off from everything, I have that wisdom and I can rebuild with that. I have my passion and my desire to make impact and change. I have my love of being with clients and being with people. I have all of the techniques that I know. I have all of my knowledge about marketing, right? So even I can't guarantee that I'm going to have all the relationships that I'll have that I have now after a winter phase, like if everything were to fall apart, right? But what are the things that I know no one can take away from me that I will always be able to resource from when the time is right? Okay. We have a couple minutes left. I'd love to hear. Oh, I'll just say this last thing. The other thing that can really help clients move into a winter phase is to actually help them make space in their calendar. And we're going to look at all of that when we look into our time module over the next couple of weeks. So what are you, hopefully you're taking a lot from today's call. And like I said in the beginning, like we're not tying it up in a neat bow. But what are you taking for yourself from our call today? What are you seeing? What's feeling really important? Heather.
One of the big aha moments I had is, you know, we have to let go in order to make the space for that new. I think, you know, I'm really resistant to letting go. But, you know, understanding that, you know, new ideas can't come to fruition. Like I have all these ideas and things, but I can't just keep adding more in without letting go of some things.
Yeah, it's like, it's so simple, but it's so profound, right?
Right.
Yeah, good.
It's one of those things, you know, it's simple, but not easy.
Right. Yes. Yeah. It's one thing to know it. It's another thing to really embody it. Yeah. And really make decisions from that place and live it. Beautiful. Good. Who else? I'd love to hear one more share. What are you taking for yourself? Lisa.
I'm just loving the counterculture here. It's just so beautiful because not many people talk about this, do they? It's just like, it's such a beautiful conversation. I'm so glad to have been with everyone and experiencing this because it's like so precious. So thank you, Joanna. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. And this is, I think this is so important to bring to our clients. Like this is how we do our part, excuse me, in changing the world one mighty baby step at a time. Okay. I am sending all of you a lot of love. And just excitement as you walk with all that we looked at today. And I will see you soon. And I'll hang on for a few minutes if anyone needs anything. Bye.